Good afternoon, everyone. First and foremost, I would like to thank God for his mercy and grace on being here today. And my name is Brother James Boutte, a member at the Highland Heights Church of Christ. And I would just like to state that I am thankful that God has allowed me to see this day. For we know that with each breath of life, we have another opportunity to get it right. You see, God blesses us at times, not because of how good we are, but because of how good and loving and forgiving of a God that he is. Next, I would like to thank the Highland Heights Church of Christ leadership and our ministers, Brother Tommy Brooks and Brother Horace Stroud, for this invitation and opportunity to share the word of God with you all. I would like to thank each of the brothers as well that have served before me. And I also would like to thank and commend each of you in joining us to hear another portion of God's word on this afternoon. It is my prayer that we all may learn something to strengthen our Christian walk. Or you may be on the call today and not a member of the Church of Christ. It is also my prayer that something said on this hour will prick your hearts to examine yourselves and ask, what must I do to be saved? And first, I would like to let you know that God looks at the heart of man. We know in Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And based on this scripture alone, we learn that the real you is not the one who speaks, but the one who thinks. And since God looks at the heart of man, or the mind of man, now we know that God sees our thoughts. So we can't hide from God. He knows what you know and what you don't know. He knows how much knowledge you have of his word. He knows the desire or the lack of desire you have for his word. But it is important for us to learn to grow in our knowledge of him by feeding ourselves his word daily, confirming our faith by studying his word. So my question to you is, will you desire his word? Better yet, will you obey his word? Because the choice is yours. And my lesson and title for today, ye have been called unto liberty. In my scripture for the day, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 through 15, it reads, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. In verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians in Galatia. In chapter 5, he is reminding them of many things, but ultimately, he is writing to remind them of their liberty, faith, and love. But first, what is this liberty? We commonly know liberty as freedom. Liberty is defined as the power or opportunity to act as one pleases. Another definition is the state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority of one's way of life or behavior. So liberty is being free. See, Paul reminds them that they were called unto liberty, which means that they were not always free. Because he called them unto liberty, the question is, where were they? If they wasn't in liberty or free, that means that they were restricted, oppressed, dependent, constrained by something. See, when you are not free, you are enslaved or constrained by someone or something. But what is it that constrains us or had us constrained at some point in time? Paul said that ye were called unto liberty. Ye were called to freedom, but freedom from what? We find this answer in Romans 6:18. It says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. To my brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to take a trip down memory lane for a moment. And to our friends who are not members of the Church of Christ, listen to me closely. Paul said we were called unto liberty, but how were we or how are we called? 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 14 says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we were called unto freedom to be freed from captivity of sin by the gospel, which was commanded in Mark 16:15-16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So what is this gospel that we are called by? 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. See, Christ died for our condition. Christ died for the condition of being trapped or enslaved to sin. Christ died for that sin. We are dead to sin. Romans 6:2. And when we are dead to sin, Isaiah 59 tells us that we cannot pray because our sins and iniquities have hid his face from us, that he will not hear. And in John 9:31, it says, now we know that God heareth not a sinner. So when sin is in our lives, we cannot even pray to God. But God sent his son to die for that condition. Christ died, we're dead to sin. He was buried in a tomb. We are buried with him by baptism, and by faith we contact his blood. Revelation 1:5, the blood will wash away that sin. And he rose, and we will rise and walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-4. So Christ died for sin. We're dead to sin. He was buried in a tomb. We are buried in a watery grave of baptism. He rose and we rise and walk in the newness of life. And that obedience frees us from the captivity of sin. And that obedience adds us to the church. Acts 2:47. Well, whose church? Well, who died for our sins? Christ. Acts 20:28, it says, he purchased the church with his blood. Romans 16:16 says that, salute one another with an holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you. And if ye have not obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, you can't call yourself a Christian. Ye are still entrapped or constrained in sin or doctrines of men. And to my brothers and sisters, we can see here in this text that sometimes we have to be reminded of how to act. Paul says in Galatians 5:13, he says, "Ye have been called unto liberty. You were called by the gospel to be free from sin, to have prayer power, to be a child of God." He goes on to say, "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." He said, do not use your freedom, do not use this liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. We can't just go out and sin as we please and then say, "God, I'm sorry, please forgive me," and then go do what you want to do again. Paul is warning us against this attitude. Then he goes on to tell us how we should act, how we should use our liberty. He goes on to say, "But by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Well, why love? Well, what's love got to do with it? See, I'm not talking about the Ike and Tina Turner type of love, but if your appreciation for the love that God has shown you to give his only son to die for your sinful ways, you realize that when you grow in love for God, you will grow to love people. And that love that you have for the people is because of the love you have in Christ. You will not lie. You will not steal. You will not kill, cheat, or seek to hurt anyone that you love in any way. He warns us in verse 15 that what would happen if we don't love one another. He says, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." He said, be careful before you destroy one another, because obviously there were issues going on that Paul was warning them of. And he says to prevent this. In verse 16, he says, "This I say then." So to prevent this, he says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So how do we get through this life that's full of turmoil? How do we get through unrest? How do we get through this? He tells us to walk in the Spirit. But how do we walk in the Spirit? See, we must feed ourselves the Word of God, and when we do, we live by and we have life by the Spirit through his Word. See, there is no restriction or penalty to possess certain traits or characteristics that we must learn that are fruits of the Spirit. And we see here in Galatians 5:22, see, there is no penalty to love. There is no penalty to have peace. There is no penalty to have joy, to be long-suffering, to be gentle, to be good, to have faith, to be meek. There is no penalty to be temperate. There is no law against these things. So what was Paul's message? He reminded us that we have been freed from sin. He's saying, don't revert back to the things you used to do. Don't revert back to your old ways. He reminds us that Christian liberty is inspired by love. But he also warns us of the results or the effect that the lack of love would have. And then he tells us to walk in the Spirit. So if you are walking by the Spirit, I don't have to tell you that it's the sin to kill, because you will be at peace with everyone. I won't have to tell you not to steal, because you will respect one's property. But if you live by your own selfish and fleshly desires, you know it's wrong to steal, but you will do it anyway. This should not be our attitude. Brothers and sisters, family and friends, we have to be wise. We have to be vigilant in our Christian walk. We have to suppress the desires of the flesh by feeding ourselves more the Word of God. Paul tells them in Galatians 5:6, the only thing that matters, the only thing that counts, is your faith expressing itself through love. So again, I will ask, what's love got to do with it? It's like asking the question, what's God got to do with it? Because we learn in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. And he loved us first by sending his Son, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but and have everlasting life. And his Son loved us enough to humble himself, to be fashioned as a man. And him too had to learn to become obedient. And he became obedient even unto death of the cross, Philippians 4:8. He died for you and me, that we might be freed from sin and have hope at eternal life. So how do you access this liberty or freedom? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you must hear this word of God. And then you have to believe. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then you must repent. Luke 13:3 says, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. You would have to turn from your ways. You have to acknowledge that I've been in error in the eyesight of God, and I want to correct this. I don't want to live that life anymore. He said you must repent. And then he says you must confess. Acts 8:37, you must confess that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then be baptized. Acts 2:38 said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And at that point, he adds you to his church. And you may be on the call today and not a Christian. We never know how long we have left on this earth, any of us. Don't miss your calling to salvation. Now is the accepted time of salvation, because tomorrow is not promised. And to my brothers and sisters in Christ, just as the Apostle Paul reminded his fellow Christians, we must be careful not to revert back to old ways or to be influenced by anything contrary to the will of God, and never live according to the flesh. Because Romans 6:1-2 says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We all must do some self-reflecting and examine ourselves. Don't ignore the symptoms of sin. Feeling down, defeated, hateful, disturbed, worried, desiring to do things we know are not right in the eyesight of God. These are all symptoms of a sin sickness, and we should examine ourselves and get to the root cause, because the symptoms won't get better without fixing the root cause. But God is a God of peace. And when we know that, we can be confident because we know we have been free from sin, which means you are free to love, and your faith will energize your love. And as I close, I'll leave you with this. Christian freedom is not the right thing to do as I wish, but the power to do as I should. And again, Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Jesus set the example and gave us a chance at a new life. And in Galatians 5:25-26, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Remember, God sees the real you. So grow your love for God, then it will be easy to love and serve one another. And that is my message for you all. Amen.